So there's people that need to know, so they do not what? Have confidence in their flesh. Because a lot of people going around thinking that they are God's children and God will take care of them. But the Bible says not so. You cannot be His child unless you are born of Him. And there's no flesh that is born of God, other than Jesus Christ, who is manifested in the flesh, God being His Father. But none of us have been given that or had that happen to us. Every one of us know where we came from. The Son of God knew where He came from because man was not His Father. And He knew that because He was without sin. Every one of us know who our Father is. He's that sinner. How do I know that? How do I know I was born into the world from my natural father? I have the same characteristics. I'm just the biggest sinner as He is. 1 John 5, verse 1 and 2. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this, verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. But we come back to the thing. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. This is why when I preach to you people to salvation, or you tell people about Jesus Christ, you got to cause them or have them know that if they are not born again, they're not God's children. Doesn't matter what you think. It's a matter of what the Bible says. And remember, if you believe a lie never saves you. A lie never keeps you. A lie will not protect you. But the truth will set you free, and the truth will keep you, and the truth will protect you if you believe it. As with the people Jesus was confronted with and claimed that God was their father and hated the Son of God. You notice that? They told the truth that God, Jesus told them the truth that God was not their father. They hated Him and hated God because to hate the one is to hate the other because they are the same one as He is one. So if you hate the Son, you cannot love the Father. John 8, verse 42, you can turn there if you want, or you don't have to. But Jesus said to him, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came of myself, but He sent me. Even if they could prove the lineage of all the way to Abraham, it would still not change the fact that God was not their Father. I guess Abraham, being their father after flesh, was not His children. This is what Jesus had told them. Was this some kind of contradiction? Abraham was saved because he believed God. Now, I kind of wonder, what kind of contradiction could it be? Abraham was saved. He believed God, and all those that believed after him are counted as the children after the Spirit. Turn me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3. Galatians 3, verse 6 to 9. Even as Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham? The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. If you go to verse 26, for ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we knew it was by faith to which we are the children of God. So those who are of faith are the same as the children of Abraham, seeing that God would justify him by faith and all those who would believe. But Jesus went on to say to these fellows that are talking, He says, ye are of your father the devil. Now, it is none of us here can claim God as our father after the flesh. Is any of you here can claim the devil as your father after the flesh? I have never seen a baby devil yet. Have you? No, not Rosemary's Baby and not any of those kind of goofy things on TV or on the theaters that they come up with. No. Spirits cannot intermingle with flesh. Plain and simple. God had made it in such a way. Well, turn me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. But Jesus was very specific and he said this, ye are of your father the devil. So to whom was he addressing and to what was he talking about? John 8 verse 44, ye are of the father the devil and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Do you not know that the devil is the father of what? Somebody should say that really quick and easy to me. Sin. Not confusion. Confusion comes from sin. He is the father of sin. Now, why say that? Well, he is the father of sin. And you know what? Every one of us have sin. Every one of us is infected with him. From the time of Adam and Eve and the infection, in other words, his sin was passed into us. Every one of us has that thing. His hold on mankind is the sin that is in them. When sin has rule over you, you do its bidding. And who has the power of sin? Who is the father of sin? So when Jesus said, ye are your father the devil, he was making what? A perfect statement. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. Christ came to destroy the works of the devil and set captives free. The devil sinned from the beginning. First John 3 verse 8 to 12 says this, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Is anybody here that's commit sin? You of the devil. Ooh. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. It is the wicked that hates those who are born again, and hates the Spirit of Christ. If I can look back in your life, I can see where you hated Christians, or laughed at them and mocked them, and you really not had a true love for God, until you became saved. It is the wicked that hate and persecute those who have the Spirit of Christ in them. It's always been like that. It'll always be like that. They are stirred by the devil that is in them via their sin. Now, I can tell you, my father, I know who my father is after the flesh. But I also see something in me that has taken hold of me, and I find that sin in me, I am subject and I bow to another father and I do his bidding. You were by nature the children of wrath. Ephesians chapter 2. Kind of a long way to get around to it, but we get to it. Say, why do you want to go that way? Because, so there's nothing in your heart and mind that somehow makes you think that there's in your flesh is some good thing. Mm-hmm. Paul says, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Mm-hmm. Have no confidence in your flesh. Please. Because if you have confidence in your flesh, it will fail you. It is weak. It is sinful. It is not trustworthy. Don't trust yourself. So I should believe in myself. Okay, believe in yourself. Mm-hmm. Believe in yourself. Really believe in yourself. And you'll find yourself can't do much good for you because it can't get you any more than your limitations. But Ephesians 2 verse 1 to 3 says this, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also ye have had our conversation in time past, the lust of your flesh, the fulfilling the desires of the flesh and mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You can thank God he set you free from this death. Destroying sin so the devil can have no more hold on you. So what does he do? He takes your sin away. He kills your sin. Sin, when it is alive in your life, holds you. And you do its bidding. And who has the power of sin? Who is the father? You know, a father has control over his son. A father has an influence in his son. Satan is the father of sin. And if sin is in your life, he has a hold on you and he has a control and he influences you. This is why when Christ took our sinful nature, crucifying it to the cross, that we should not be no more the servants of sin, and neither should we ever be responsive to him, because we are dead. And we are supposed to be dead to sin. When Christ took us and saved us, it's kind of like this. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 1, I will read it to you so you see it as it's explained in the Word. I could not explain it any better than the way that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans and told them, this is what takes place. Why? Because you are not going to respond to that Father to whom you are dead to. You're not obligated to him. Romans 6 verse 1 to 18. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? If I'm dead to sin, the father of sin has no more hold on me in my life. Verse 3, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Romans 6, verse 5, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be also in the likeness of his resurrection. If I can hold you for a second, this is why when God looks at you, he doesn't see you as a wicked sinner. He sees you as a redeemed son, and he looks at you and sees you as his son. Because there is no life, there is no more flesh in his eyes. So he does not see you, what? Being a child after your father. He doesn't see you being a child of the devil. He sees you as his son because what? There's nothing else there for him to see. Verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. So figuratively, we've been taken to the cross, crucified, buried, and resurrected, not in the old man, but in the newness of life. Water baptism portrays that. It shows us to have that. Now we're supposed to what? figuratively or reckon ourselves. Now we know very much this body is not dead. Woo! And I can wave my hands and you can wave at me. We know. But we are to reckon ourselves, figuratively speaking. But in the eyes of God, it is a done thing. This is the key. Do you realize every time you read in the Bible from the Old Testament to the very end of the New Testament, you see Christians walking with God and you see them falling and everything else? Why? Because they are still in their flesh. Adam was not perfect. Neither was Noah, neither was David, neither was Solomon, neither was the Apostle Paul, neither was Peter, neither was John. And you see all the way through the children of God. And you see him up and you see him down. You see him up and you see him down. Look at verse 8. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Now he's giving you good advice. Your sin is dead. It is gone. So don't go back into sin. Because if you go back into sin, you become servants to sin. Verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. This is why God made provision for the Christian, so if he goes in sin, to repent and get cleansed and freed again. While we are in these bodies. Because I can read that, and if I take it literally, then I should be dead right here, right now, and you should never see my old man again. So we're seeing in the eyes of God, and we're getting a foreknowledge and a foresight with God, how he sees us, how he deals with us. But he also knows till the rapture takes place and the change happens, we walk in that which is coming for us. And we can walk in what? That which we see and have a taste of it. Verse 15. No, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made freed from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Seeing that your flesh and your sin is removed, your old life is done away with, the only father you are obligated to is the one who is living. Say, well, I do have a father and he's still very much alive and that. Yeah, we're to honor him. But turn with me to Romans chapter 8. We are obligated unto him who has redeemed us, because he is now your real father. Your true father. How do I know this? This father doesn't go away. My father will die eventually. I will die, and my children will not have their father around after the flesh. But this father never is going to be gone. We'll always be the sons of God for eternity. For eternity. Romans 8, verse 10 to 13 says this, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. We are not debtors to live after our old ways and our old life, responding to the old father. Verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now I kind of got it like this. If God is your Father, and He is very much alive, should you not be listening to Him? I kind of think so. He is what? Your Heavenly Father. It is Him whom we pray to. It is Him whom we ask for help. Now, understanding, if He is your Father, if He is your Father, and He is God, do you not think He will help you? Do you not think He will do for you? Do you not think He will care for you? As you care for your children as a parent, you'll also find your Father in heaven care for you because you are His children. Why do I say that? Because it is Him to whom we must listen to, obey, and follow. When you take on His life, your old life is done away with. I'm not obligated to my natural Father other than to honor Him in the Lord and respect Him. But I must listen to my real Father, and the Father to whom will give me and guide me and show me the way that I must go. If you turn with me in Matthew chapter 6, I want you to see this. It's something we taught children, we usually taught in Sunday school, and taught to other people. I think I even taught a teaching section on this. Is the Lord's Prayer. But the very, very first line is very important. It says, Jesus says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven. Understand who your Father is, and understand that He is your Father. And I can go to my Father anytime and say, Father, I have need. Father, I need help. Father, please guide me. Father, please show me the way. And the Father says, My son, my daughter, listen thou to me. Why? Why not? Why not listen to God? Matthew 6, verse 9, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy is thy name. Thy kingdom come. It's coming. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. His will is to be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You will find everything in there, your Father instructing you for your life and how to guide yourself, what to pray for, how to pray, and what reason. It is what we need to know. It is what we need to do. Why? Because we who are born again have a Father. And this Father, and there's people going around that do not really know who their Father is. There's people who've been adopted and never saw Him. Today we have labs that give off sperm, and we never know who the real Father is. Just sperm, and it just goes there, and fertilizes the woman's egg, and she has a baby. I mean, that child grows up not knowing who his Father is. But we know our Father, and our Father knows us, and He knows us by name. And you are very important and very precious to Him. So He would leave instruction to us, and He would tell us the way He would have us to go. The way we talk to Him, how we're to reverence Him, everything about Him. Why? simple reason. He is our Father. And He has a vested interest in us more than we think we know or even care to know. Proverbs chapter 3. I'll read this, but there's so many places you can go in the Bible and find so many things that your Father cares and does for you and wants to do for you. And if you look in the Old Testament, you see the love and care of God for His people, the children of Israel. Well, it's the same God that cares about you. Do you ever realize that every time they cried out to the Lord and asked the Lord for help, He helped them? He never refused them. And the only time He really truly punished them is when He knew He had to do them to correct them, to bring them back to Him. Watch this in Proverbs 1, chapter 3, verse 1 to 12. He says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." I think it's a good reason why we should follow it. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them up about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." You know, a man with integrity and honesty and all these wonderful things that walks with the Savior is a blessing to others and not a curse. Verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding." If your opinions are of the things of God or the ways of God, the true ways, then your opinion means something. But if it isn't, and it's contrary to the things of God, then you got to realign yourself. But verse 6 says, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." And also says, if you don't acknowledge Him, He can't direct you. Verse 7, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil." Why? "It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." It'll be good for you. Even an inspired utterance this morning said that. And I don't show anybody what I write or what I do. Verse 9, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall be burst out with new wine." And you bring tithes and offerings unto the Lord and honoring Him, it blesses Him, and He will bless you. Verse 11, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction." I thought the first few years is all I did was get re-corrected by the Lord, and every time of preaching and things like that, and I go in the Word and say, like, that's all I had to do is get corrected. I felt like, man, this is gets to be quite the thing. But I realized He was doing it for my good. I remember when in Bible school, this is going to be a great thing. First thing He showed me was a laver bowl. He says, washing of the water by the Word. I was going to get scrubbed. And I said, "Lord, okay. Whatever way, whatever idea, whatever thing I have." Because you want to know something? When you're born, you really don't know your Father. But you trust Him. You trust Mommy and Daddy, they're going to care for you. First bit of thing happens, worst thing you come running is in your daddy's arms. You'd be surprised how fast a child will run into their father's arms when trouble or something happens. Verse 12, "For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth." Oh, He delights in you. But you want to know something? He doesn't put up with you. He says, "You know what? You are mine, and this is the way I'm going to have you to be." He's very just. He's very fair. When He spanks you evenly, justly, corrects you. Oh, He doesn't overdo it, and He doesn't underdo it. But why do I say that? For the simple reason. He is your Father, and He cares about you. Isn't it good to know that He cares about you? I kind of think it is. And that He will do all in His power to help you. Now, He's very powerful. I remember kids saying, "My daddy's strong." And the other one said, "Well, my daddy's stronger." Well, my dad is strong. My Father is very powerful. He can move you with his finger into 3 million galaxies, and it'll take you an eternity to come back. That's how strong my Father is. Why do we say that? Because he has a deep, great love for you, and he will use everything in his power to help you. I really like this Father. I think this Father is really good for me. I have a lot of love for my Father after the flesh. I do not have the love for the other Father who got into my life, the Father of sin. And I know he can affect my flesh. I know he can interfere in my life. But what deep love God has for us to create his life and take a part of his spirit and put in us, and that we should be called the sons of God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8 and look at this. I used to listen or hear off and on the preachers would say, get to know God. And a lot of times I listen to believers, they really don't know their God. But not only are you to know your God, you're also to know him as your Father. And he is your Father. And you should know everything about him, the way he is and what he likes. Because you know, I know something? In you is the same characteristics as him. Not after your flesh, but of your spirit. Romans 8 verse 37 to 39 says this, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I do believe that if he is my Father, I am indebted to him. He gave me life, and he can take back that life anytime. He is a Father that says, I can take you out. I wouldn't want to push him. I wouldn't want to provoke him. And we do. We do push him. It's like Jesus said, why tempt ye me? We tempt God many times. Very patient, very loving Father, but even then he has limitations to what he puts up with us. But I am indebted to him to live a life that is pleasing to him, that will honor him. I am not indebted to Satan. I am not indebted to the devil to live a life of sin. That is not what is for me. That is what God has want for any one of you or anybody else that hears this. Because of the devil, I got into a lot of trouble. The devil made you do it? No, he didn't have to. But I responded because something was wrong with me because of what he did way back in heaven when he decided to knock out God in his throne and he lost. He took it out on us. The only way you can take it back out on the devil is to live a life of cleanliness, godliness, and without sin, keeping sin out of your life. That way, he cannot do anything. Then my natural father, I honor in the Lord. But my heavenly Father is the one that I am to obey and follow. Every one of his children have the same thing. Our sinful life and the life after the flesh is to be no more. Say, well, so-and-so, he isn't living his life right. Well, then he will answer to his father. You know, like we grew up with brothers and sisters. Father didn't punish, well, usually, sometimes he did, but because he's natural, he's not perfect. But usually, the guilty got punished. So if you went and did something wrong, God didn't punish everybody else. But we never noticed that when one suffers or one gets in trouble, we all suffer for it. You ever see trouble when it's happened to a home and you've really gotten in a lot of trouble? isn't very nice in the household, is it? Everybody feels it. If you get yourself into trouble, everybody feels it. When you get yourself into sin, it affects everybody. We can't say no, it doesn't. Why? We are brothers and sisters. We have a Father. And we are to obey and follow Him. There's nobody that is exempt. The same rule for me is the same rule for you. It doesn't change. It doesn't change because you have better standing. You'll find that God is a bit more tolerant those who are young in Christ. And He's more willing to sit down and help you. But if you grow on in years and you get a lot of years behind you, what excuse do you got? When you've been saved for 30, 40, 50 years and you're standing before Jesus saying, well, you know, Lord, it's been kind of hard. I'm getting old and I just can't do it no more. No. We are examples. If you're older in Christ, you are an example to the younger ones, and that's how you should be. You shouldn't be looking at them and thinking, well, I'm going to be like them. Fathers and mothers are not to be like teenagers with their children. Cannot be. We have to be mature. We should be grown up. Our life is to be for our Father which is in heaven the way He would have it for us. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I notice some people who are immature, who never grow up, who still do things that they ought not to be doing. I'll kind of give the same advice that Daniel gave Nebuchadnezzar. Break off thy sins. Sins are like icicles. The colder it gets, the more you get. When the water starts dripping, it just seems to appear out of nowhere. Break them off. Get rid of them. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 to 18. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? We're to be in the world, doesn't mean we'd be a part of it. Say, well, my life is going to be blah. Well, then be blah, blah. Who cares? It's not that blah. Verse 15. And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Why? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, walk in them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Is God your Father? If God is your Father, you should listen to your Father. You should pay attention to your Father. And as you grow with your Father, you will find out that your Father wants you to be an example to the younger. The people that Jesus confronted claimed they were. And God was their Father. We have one Father, even God. But Jesus told them, you're not. But it cannot be told to you that you're not. It will be told to you that He is. And if He is, then I think we ought to pay attention to Him. If our God is our Father, God is love, then we should love each other, care for each other, look to do as best we can for one another. Because actually, we're all in the same thing together, whether we like to or not. It doesn't matter whether you're Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, Catholic, I don't care what background we all come from. It's important to know that we have one Father, and that Father is after our spirit. And we should be doing and showing the character of our Father who truly loves us. Jesus put it this way, if you love me, ye will do what I ask. The Father says to His Son, Son, I love you. I need you to do what I ask. I need you to follow me. I need you to obey my commandments. Do those things that I say and it will go well with you. Well, the one son says to the father, and we can go on to the prodigal son where he says, you know what? I really don't want to listen to you. I just want to go live my life way, whatever, and I'll go and do whatever. And you know what? The prodigal son spent his life, wasted it, and he ended up, and he was sitting there feeding swine. Now, swine is a picture of devils. He's out there feeding the devils. And he came to his senses, saying, this is not a good thing. This is not something I would like. Would you like to spend your life feeding devils? Well, go and look at pigs. Get a real good look at a pig. Get a real good look at the pig and the pig that stinks and what it does. Now, if you really think it's good and you think the pig is something, buy some perfume for the pig. Put some earrings on the pig. Put a pearl necklace around the pig. Buy the pig a silk shirt. And you want to know something? It'll still be one filthy, dirty, rotten, stinking animal that looks like a pig. Even matter what you do to dress it up. Don't serve devils. The devil is not whom you serve. He is not your father. How do I know? You are dead. And if your life is dead and your sins taken away, you're not beholden to him. You're set free. Dead people do not have to respond to anybody else. The only one you have to respond to is the living Father. And it's capital L, very much so, very much alive. Turn me to John chapter 14. John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. You got to tell, not only just tell your father, you got to show your father. You can't impress him any other way. I don't know of any other way to do it. But let's look at our father, and let's see our father. Let's follow our father. Let's do what our father wants, and let's live a life that pleases our father, who art in heaven. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your wonderful word and your truth and light. Lord, bless each and every heart. They may go forward and honor you, to bless you, knowing that they are your children, that we are your sons. Lord, guide us and lead us and show us the way and show us everything we need to do to walk worthy of the calling and walk worthy of the name to which we are your children. Christians. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.